Welcome to this podcast.
Hello and welcome back to another episode of Anything Goes with me, Richard C.W. Mason. Today we're joined by Ryan and we're going to be talking about Crime Watch UK. What did the theme tune go like?
It always made me feel like,
oh my God, what's coming? Do you know what I mean?
And it's it was quite
the
scary.
The whole don't have nightmares thing. It was scarier than some horror films, I think.
It was because it was real, I think.
It was real, wasn't it? Mm. Knew it was real.
Yeah, it was quite an innovative programme, I suppose, for its time. But yes, it's...
When did you start watching it?
I suppose I watched it in the 80s. I always remember watching it as a young kid. And there's still some cases that I remember now, because obviously I've seen quite a few on YouTube. And for me, I always remember watching it as a young kid and then not being able to sleep for most of the evening.
Yeah, I think it was all like that.
And my mum saying to me, "You're not watching that again." But it still had that same effect for many, many years.
It was one of them things you had to watch, but you didn't want to watch it.
I could watch it at the time and I didn't think anything. And then when you went to bed, you were kind of like thinking, oh, that's not very far away. Or you had in your mind those photo fits that were quite scary of these people who, you know, had pictures drawn of the faces.
Well, one of the scariest things for me was, like, if it was just like a family sat in the living room and then like these men with balaclavas burst in and like held everybody at, you know, for the gunpoint, knife point or something, then they, you know, that was the scary bit for me.
I think there was quite a few. Most of the early stuff was armed robberies on security vans, attacks against women. You obviously had some murders as well. So those were your usual ones. But towards the end, the attacks on families, I think, just became more and more common because they were very difficult to detect, really.
There was a lot of jewellery burglars. Yes. You know, jewellery shops being robbed, weren't they? It's literally every time I watched it, there was a jewellery shop being robbed.
Jewellery shops, pawnbrokers, those security like call vans that used to go and deliver the money into the banks or pick up money from supermarkets.
To this day, whenever I see a security van picking up money from a supermarket or somewhere, I just think Crime Watch.
Yeah.
And I just think, oh, what if he gets robbed, you know, and that's from Crime Watch. That stuck with me.
Yeah, well, the first few years of Crime Watch, it was pretty much an easy way to make money. Just, you know, pick up a gun and go and find a security call van and you take it. But then the security started getting better. Some of them, they had like smoke that used to come out
and
of the
dye,
things.
Yeah,
the dye, and it would cover them. But nowadays, it's all really sophisticated to the extent that I don't think they bother doing it anymore because basically they either don't get the money or they're going to get caught.
So when do you think Crime Watch was at its best, in the 80s, 90s or later on?
Certainly not later on. I think it started off probably quite slowly as it sort of established itself. I suppose its height, I would say, was probably in the early 90s. Yeah, because it used to get, I mean, in those days, you'd probably get about sort of 15, 16 million people watching it every single week, which is absolutely unheard of now. I mean, you know, programmes struggle to get 4 or 5 million unless it's a big football match, whereas back then you'd have all those people watching the reconstructions, and so it stood a good chance of, you know, solving some really difficult to solve crimes. But I think by then they'd got it more or less sorted, you know, that the standard approach was 3 reconstructions. They had the incident desk, they had the photo call bit, they had the... The bit I never really liked was when the Aladdin's Cave, where they used to find a load of, you know, old antiques and all of that, was a bit slow. But I would probably say the early 90s was when it had really found its feet and I suppose was at the height of what it was. Before then, the BBC messed about.
When I remember it the most, sort of early 90s, maybe late 80s.
Yeah, late 80s, early 90s, I think, was when, you know, for me, I certainly remember it a lot more. And then, you know, it had a few new presenters and the format slightly changed. And it's been messed around with probably a lot since then. But that was probably the height of it, yeah.
A few weeks ago, I went through a phase of watching them for a week or two. And the funny thing was, some of the reconstructions, some of the people were actually involved with, some of the people who'd done the crimes were in the reconstruction.
Yeah, there's I think there's two that come to mind. I think there was one in Luton, which was an early reconstruction, where there was this woman, I think her name was Avril Dunn or something like that, and she was murdered. And the guy who did it was actually in the reconstruction mm-hmm. playing darts, or he was stood at the bar, and he was actually the person who'd murdered her. And then there was one much later than that, which was one in London, which was a famous case where a husband had murdered the wife, and the husband was in the reconstruction, but they found out that it was him who did it. So yeah, there are a couple of cases of that being the case.
I think some of the reconstructions were quite funny with the acting and stuff. It weren't particularly brilliant, was it?
Yeah, I mean, especially in the early days, it was new. It was something that was very, very different. But I think what for me, what it was, and why the early 90s was probably the best part of it, was because actually what you used to find is that the reconstructions did reconstruct exactly what happened. The problem with the most recent stuff is they started putting music to it, and they started yes. to make it really dramatic. And that's not what it was about. It's not a drama. It's actually trying to recreate reality. Yes. And so I think that was, you know, deliberate on their part, wasn't it? That, you know, trying to recreate a family having tea, you've got to watch the family having tea before someone bursts in and tries to do stuff.
So it went through quite a few changes. There were different presenters, wasn't there? Who started off? Was it Nick Ross and
Sue Cook? Yep. So they started off in 1984. I think they went through to about 95. And then Sue Cook left because she'd also got involved in Children in Need. She used to do that as well, didn't she? And she did a few other programmes. And eventually she left, and Jill Dando took over.
When did she take over then?
I think it was 1995, back into 95. Right. And then they changed the format of it. So there was a new studio when she joined. They also ditched the format where it was like three main reconstructions, and they did probably more reconstructions, but probably shorter reconstructions. So yeah, that was ditched. And then obviously Jill Dando herself was murdered in, I think, 99. And then Fiona Bruce, she picked it up in 2000. And then Nick Ross left. He left in about 2007. The BBC, I think, got rid of him. And then it was Kirsty Young, which more or less took it to the end. Jeremy Vine did a little bit at the end, but it then got scrapped in about, I think it was 2017.
So why do you think it eventually got scrapped? Was there no need for this, like, monthly thing where people...
I think there was a lot of reasons. I think part of the reason was the BBC messed around with it so much. So it used to be every, I don't know, second Tuesday in the month you knew Crown Watch was on, and they started messing around with it, so nobody ever knew when it was on. And one day it would be a Tuesday, and the next it would be a Thursday. It was always a monthly programme, and they got rid of that. So you could have two in 3 weeks, and you'd not have one for 3 months. So people didn't know when it was on. You didn't get the viewing figures, because nothing got the viewing figures like they used to. So therefore, the police, I don't think, wanted to use Crime Watch as much, because social media was finding to be a good way of detecting crime. So there was that. I think it had also lost its way. It became less about trying to detect crime and more about, you know, here's a story about how somebody was caught, or here's a story about romance crime. And actually, the number of reconstructions, there was hardly any in the ones towards the end.
They were like little soap episodes, weren't they?
Yeah.
Strange towards the end.
It was very strange. And
like,
I think
episodes of The Bill.
They tried to dramatise it far too much. And that's never what it was about. It was about, as I say, detecting crime and reconstructing events.
True life, wasn't it?
And also I feel that what they did towards the end is it became about the victims, which of course I know what it's about, but actually often you don't detect things through victims crying and getting upset. You detect things through actually seeing what the events were. Mm. And so I just think it completely lost its way towards the end. It's still officially, they still do Crime Watch Live in a morning, but it's not like Crime Watch used to be. I mean, people have said about bringing it back because obviously there's a lot of crime around at the moment. But
do you think it ever will come back?
I don't know. I think it's difficult because crime's very different. I mean, when you watch the ones in the 80s, there's no CCTV, which you'd see nowadays.
Ring door cameras.
That's right.
Like that,
everything's covered by these cameras nowadays. So whereas a lot of the things... And also now crime, some of it is impossible to reconstruct. You know, things like fraud, you can't really reconstruct that. So the ability to reconstruct those kind of things that you they would have done in the 80s and 90s is, you know, is completely gone. So I think it is more and more difficult for them to bring it back. Plus, what people don't always understand is it was actually really quite expensive to produce Crime Watch. Mm. You know, the number of actors, the number, the amount of time it took to do the reconstructions. I mean, some people say, well, why wasn't it a weekly program? It couldn't have been because it was just too so expensive. Yeah. There were so many police forces that are having to be involved. There was a big team of researchers. There was a big team who took the calls on the evening. You know, and it was all live as well. So it wasn't cheap TV. And nowadays, of course, everything's looking to be, you know, cheap on television, and it isn't a cheap one to produce.
But we still have YouTube, don't we, for all the past episodes that they've been. And I think the most of them are on there, aren't they?
Yeah, pretty much now. I think most are. I think there's been, ignoring the ones in the morning, I think there's about 330 episodes. And I think we're now missing probably about 20, maybe. There's a guy who's still putting them on.
So there was about 350 episodes of the original Crime Watch.
About that, yeah. And we're I think we're pretty much missing about, I think it's about sort of, I don't know, between sort of 15 and 20. They've gradually been put on over a period of time. I think it's been really good to see, you know, a lot of those cases. But even, I mean, the guy at the moment's putting some on from 2005. And when you watch it, it's hard to believe it's 20 years ago. Mm. And that's what it is. It's...
like looking back at some of them old... I've watched some of the Crime Watch Solved videos on YouTube, and they give you the information how they caught them years later. But some of the sentences were pathetic, like 12 years for murder or something, and it's like they was out in 6 years or less, and it seems crazy looking back at that.
Yeah, I mean, it's hard to believe that you're watching something from 2005 and someone's committed a murder and then they're already out. Mm. And yes, some of them are. And some of them, you know, were released and then committed similar crimes again. So, yeah, it's very, very difficult. But there are some, for example, who, you know, they found out who murdered it, but they died before they got justice. That's happened. There's quite a few have died in prison while serving sentences. There are some who, even in the early episodes, committed murders, and they're still inside now. In fact, one of the early reconstructions, which was, I think, down in Leicestershire, Dawn Ashworth one, he's in an open prison, but he's been inside for a long time. So it really does depend. I mean, there's some of them will never be released. Some mm-hmm. of them aren't in prison. They're in these secure units because, you know, the crimes are just so, you know, awful.
So... cases around Lincolnshire, is there any that stick in your mind? I remember seeing one at Grantham. They never found the murderer there, did they?
About 1994, there was about a 4 month, which is effectively four episodes, where there's a Lincolnshire case in each one of the reconstructions.
Well, there was one. Is there a jewellery shop at Lincoln? Was it?
Yeah, so the first Lincoln case I can remember was a lad who got abducted. It was a really bizarre case, and there was a lad on... I mean, it's bizarre to think of it now, but there was a lad on a bike. He was probably only around sort of, I don't know, 8 or 9. He was cycling around Lincoln Town Centre, and this guy put him on a train and took him on a train to Peterborough, took him off the train at Peterborough, took him to his house. The boy slept at the house, woke up the next morning, got on his bike and cycled off. And talking about pathetic sentences, I think that guy got just over a year in prison for that, for abducting a young lad. Now, he didn't necessarily harm him. So that was the first, I think, Lincoln case. And there was an infamous double murder. There was two murders of two guys in Lincoln. That was solved.
When was that?
That was, I think, early 90s. So that's probably 91, 92. Fred Maltby, I think, and I forget his name, but it was a bookmaker up the high street, and he was they were both murdered by the same guy. And there's a Crime Watch file about that, actually. They caught him by... he used to work in a paint factory, I believe, and they caught him by the murder weapon. And then there was a lot of cases, mostly not in Gainsborough. That was Gainsborough's never been featured, and really Scunthorpe hasn't been featured much at all. But a lot were down in Grantham. Probably the most famous one was Julie Pacey. She was murdered in her home by a man in overalls with a red face, and it was appealed about 20 years later, and it was infamous because a lot of people rang up, and the guy in the original reconstruction had to be interviewed.
Because people
thought it was him.
They never got anybody for that.
Never got anybody for it. And there was a lot of bizarreness about the case, where a lot of people said that she was driving this BMW car, and the family have said that they never had a BMW, but they've actually seen her BMW parked next to her Audi, and it was really
possibly having an affair.
Yeah, that was what they potentially thought was going to happen there.
There was a bizarre one as well. I don't think it was Lincolnshire, where. Did he steal her shoes or something?
Yes,
or
that was up in...
bought some shoes.
That was Wendy Speak. I think that was up in Yorkshire. It was a really brutal case. A guy who... I think he literally knocked on people's doors and he murdered this woman.
Yes, I remember.
But he had a shoe fetish, and he'd bought some shoes from a charity shop, brought the shoes with him.
And did he leave them there?
And I think he'd got her to try these shoes on, and they were left there. And he was sentenced.
And they got him sentenced. Did you have a favourite episode out of them all, out of the 300?
I mean, it's hard to think about, you know, when it's dealing with such gruesome activities. Nowadays we've got a group on Facebook. There's a Crime Watch group on Facebook, which has come out of all the videos. And probably on there, the one that's the most infamous one is one from 1988. I think it's the November one. And I think there's an infamous reconstruction of a murder in London of a guy called Michael Williams. And probably the thing that's remembered about it most is in a wood, which is where his body was found, there was this guy in some kind of trance. He was stood there completely emotionless. This dog was jumping up him, and he just stood there. And probably in terms of the reconstruction, that was the bit that gave you ultimate nightmares. It was one of those, you know, goodness, what's happened there? So I think for lots of people on the Crime Watch community, there was that video was... I suppose the most infamous, because in terms of the posting of the videos, there was a guy in Bristol who'd posted quite a lot to begin with. He just got them off his videotapes, and that's what I suppose got a lot of us into it. We watched the same old ones a few times, and then from there, various people have posted them all. And as I say, we've definitely got the run from 1984. There's an episode in 92 that's missing, but we're more or less there. We just need a few extra ones putting on.
It's really good, isn't it? You think the BBC had put some out there, wouldn't you?
Well, the BBC aren't very helpful. It's very difficult, I suppose, isn't it? Because you're going to be putting on there things where crimes have already been detected, where there's people who probably served their sentence and moved on. There's also probably some of the cases even that haven't been solved where... you know, the clues have changed, or the police have discounted some of the evidence that was put on Crime Watch. There's a lot of things on Crime Watch. I mean, there's been ones where they, you know, on the photo call, they've put the wrong people on there. you know, that's happened a couple of times, which is, you know, ultimately quite embarrassing for them. So, yeah, it is. It's, a very interesting show.
I think solving crime, you know, they've got a lot more, haven't they? It's a lot more technical and forensics and stuff is compared to the 80s and 90s. It's totally more advanced, isn't it?
Well, the first case that was solved with DNA was on Crime Watch in 86. I think it was the one I mentioned earlier on about the girls in Leicestershire who were murdered, and they convicted the guy through DNA. But everything before that was not DNA. You know, it's been relatively a recent thing. And CCTV, I mean, when you watch it back then, even into the 90s, it was pixelated. It was very difficult to see anything. It's not like nowadays where houses have it, like you say, doorbells have it, cars, you know, everything's covered by CCTV.
Cams.
Yeah, so it's quite difficult now for people to have committed any of the like crimes that would
you
have been
you can't get
the
away
80s.
With it now, can you?
You wouldn't be able to get away with it because...
There was somebody on Facebook the other day who'd left a bag of dog poo on somebody's car wheel, and they got him all through a doorbell.
Yeah.
The doorbell followed him, and then they zoomed in, and then there was naming and shaming him on this local Facebook page, and they got him. And they said he was very sorry. It was out of character for him. He'd not done it before, and he won't do it again.
Yeah, it's well, this is it, isn't it? You know, you just you're seen everywhere. So and again, that's why, you know, some people would say, is there a need for the crime watch that existed?
Maybe.
It probably wouldn't. And even if you did bring it back, the problem would be you wouldn't get the viewers. You wouldn't get...
No, there's that many channels now, isn't there?
Yeah, I mean, the other day, wasn't it Anton Deck's final Saturday Night Takeaway, and it got 4 million viewers. I mean, well, that's probably quite good for things nowadays, but unless it's a big football match or a sporting event or something like a, you know, a state funeral or something like that, you're just not going to get...
The soaps don't get the viewers anymore, do they? They used to be like 10 million, like EastEnders and stuff like that. And like, talking about El Dorado, when it went out, was going on so many million. It was really good. It was getting more than EastEnders and Coronation Street does now.
Oh, massively. I mean, you know, you go back to the 90s and you'd just see the ratings, and there'd be regularly programs like soaps and
things. People are spoiled for choice now because there's catch up and there's stream this, stream that, Netflix and everything.
And people don't necessarily watch TV, do they? You know, it's 24-hour society. They go out, they go to the gym, you know, they sit on the mobile phones. It's very, very different. And that's why I think it would be very difficult for Crime Watch to come back to what it was. I mean, if it did, I think it'd have to go back to its original values and not try and dramatise crime.
It was rubbish towards the end.
Really bad.
He was like, am I watching The Bill? Or, you know, what am I watching here? It wasn't very good. We liked it nitty gritty, to the point, real life, so you could go to bed scared.
The scarier episodes, the better, yeah.
Is there anything else you want to add? Anything we've missed out? I think we've covered everything from the presenters to the best decade. Talked about the reconstructions, the photo fits. They were scary within themselves. Local cases. Favourite episode. Was there an episode you thought was really rubbish and you sort of skip through it if you watch it again?
There was a reconstruction. There's been reconstruction. And it's very odd, actually, because when you watch them, you know, you always have sympathy for the victims. But it's interesting, there's been a few reconstructions that I've seen recently, and it's kind of like you struggle. I know you shouldn't say this, but there was one earlier on which was a robbery of a property. I think she was a property developer, or she had a lot of jewellery. But when she was doing the reconstruction, it was almost like she couldn't be bothered, and she was wearing like makeup, and she was doing a makeup at the time of the reconstruction. And I presume it was the BBC who decided sort of how to carry out the reconstruction, but you really had little sympathy for her. I don't know why. And then there was another one which happened, I think it was about 2003, where there was it was outside a you know, a certain kind of place in London with ladies at the front of it, and they were enticing these guys in and said that they could come in for, you know, I don't know, £10-15, and then when they got in there, they got given this bill for £600. So they tried to defraud them, but these guys came back and started. I can't remember if they used a gun or they used a knife or something on one of the women. And again, whilst you would never condone anything like that, you know, sometimes it is quite interesting. And there's, I mean, and also across the years, there's just so many bizarre things that have happened. There was another one, I always remember this one, where it was a barber, actually, and he was cutting hair, and this guy was cycling around this town. I think it was down south somewhere. He was cycling around with a comical wig on.
I saw that one, yeah.
And he walked into the barber's with acid and chucked acid in the barber's face, and I think it scarred him for life, and he just walked out. But he was cycling around in this fancy dress, you know, wanting everybody to see him. It was just really... I don't think they ever caught the guy either, in spite of how much attention he brought to himself. So, yeah, you kind of feel that you've seen them all, but there's loads of various different things. And, you know, they probably solve about a third of the cases. So, you know, the opposite side of that is two-thirds of these cases just go unsolved.
But a lot of the people who've committed them probably just no longer here anyway. You know.
Yeah, I mean, that's the thing, isn't it? You've got to look back and...
80s and 90s.
But some of them are still being solved to this day. You know, there's still crimes. And on the group, you will see people arrested. I mean, there's been cases this year where people have been convicted of murders that are in some of these episodes from the 90s. So, you know, even now, there are still people being brought to justice for some of these crimes. And unfortunately, it does take a long time sometimes. for them to come about. But yeah, it's and some of them you think, unfortunately, you know, they'll probably never be solved. There's always, you know, some of those with the passage of time just means it's almost impossible for them to be able to get to the bottom of it. But, you know, I mean, there's lots of tragic cases on there, and, you know, lots of awful things. It's not easy, and, you know, you do feel for the mothers, the fathers who, you know, who have all these terrible things happen.
Well, thanks for joining us today. I think we've just about covered everything. And please like and subscribe and follow for more episodes coming soon. We're hopefully doing another BBC themed one. We're going to look at El Dorado, the TV show that didn't last long, but lasted about a year, didn't it? So
yeah, I think it was in sort of 92, 93, wasn't it?
So we're going to do that very soon. So please join us for that. And I think I'll let you finish with,
don't have nightmares. Sleep well.
Bye for now. Bye.